Episode 136. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Wahid Tanner and will be your host today. The variant type can take on one of many different types and can even change its type. It's still a variant, so it's more accurate to say that it can hold another type. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. Once you get used to a strongly typed language, the idea of a data type that can turn itself into almost any other basic type is a bit strange. The compiler can't help you keep track of your types when you start using a type that, for all practical purposes, can be any basic type. Why would you want to use something like this? Think of a collection that can hold many values, all of the same type. Now, switch that around and you have a variant that can hold a single value of many possible types. It's very common in Windows because of the Visual Basic language. I'm referring to the older Visual Basic before it became part of .NET. In those early versions, you could declare a variable and assign it strings, numbers, and likely other objects. I don't know a lot about it, and it's not used anymore. However, the concept of its unspecified and fluid data type made its way into scripting and into the operating system through COM. Many of the components that the operating system exposes through COM objects wanted to be compatible with Visual Basic scripting, so they started using a data type that Visual Basic could easily understand. I haven't explained COM programming yet, and that'll have to wait for future episodes. It's too big of a topic to explain here. For now, though, think of COM as a way that your program can create well-known objects, sort of like a library of functionality. These objects might get created inside your application process, or in a different process, or sometimes even on a different machine. They were and still are used to isolate your code from differences in how various compilers organize objects in memory, how data gets sent back and forth between components, and how to find and create such objects. For an operating system like Windows, understanding COM is an important topic and will allow you to interact with services unavailable through any other means. And that means if you plan to do any real interaction with Windows, you'll need to sometimes use variants. Even though the original need for variants doesn't exist, they continue to be used. I'll explain more right after this message from our sponsor. If you need help with your programming, all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. There's currently room for 25 people to attend, and as of now, the one-hour intro class is free, and the two-hour beginner class is $20. There's a lot more that I can explain when you can see my screen and ask questions. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222, and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. To understand how variants work, you need to understand what a union is. This is a capability that comes from the C language to save memory. You can almost think of a union like a timeshare vacation condo. Only one family can use the condo at any given time, and it would be a waste to reserve a whole condo for a single family when it would just sit empty most of the time. You could, if you wanted to, create a class that contained one of every basic data type. It would have a single bool data member, a single char data member, a single int, etc. Since you'll only be using one of these at any time, you'll also need a data member to remember which one is active. All the data members are taking up space in memory, even though only one of them is being used. This would work even though it wastes a lot of memory. A union allows you to stack all the data members on top of one another. You have to be careful with this because if you write an int through an int variable that's part of a union, and then you try to read a float through a float variable, you won't get anything close to what you expect. That's because the two variables each have their own way of representing values. As long as you work with a single variable at a time, you'll be okay. This is really the same way that a variant works. It starts out with a numeric value that's used to identify the type of data currently stored in the union. The values are defined with the names like vt_bstr, which then means the variant holds a string as a bster. You can listen to episodes 114, 115, and 116 for more information about strings. Depending on the particular implementation of a variant class you're using, it might help you make sure you don't accidentally refer to a string as if it was a number, for example. It can do this by checking the type to make sure that the current type matches how you're trying to use the variant. If you want to change types, there might be some kind of method to reset the variant or initialize it. Or you might find that your implementation doesn't allow switching types at all once a variant instance has been created. The variant might be hard-coded to only work with certain basic types, or it might make use of your language's template ability to allow you to specify what types you're interested in. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout-out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.